Well, as many days as there are available in our community to grow in faith, things you'll find on the community calendar, you'll also find things available different hours of the day. And that's the case for The Grotto and their Lunch and Learn series. Joining us today to remind you about it and to tell you one of the recent presentations he did, it is our good friend, Chris Blanchard. He is the executive director of The Grotto here in Portland. Good morning, Chris.
Well, thanks to having me on here today, Brenda. As you know, I just love being here with you guys. It's such a wonderful place filled with faith, filled with inspiring spirituality. So thanks for having me today.
Oh, we appreciate that very much. And today we are filled with wonderful friendships that we have here at Mater Dei Radio with The Grotto, and especially to have you with us here, Chris. First, very quickly, it's summertime at The Grotto. How are things going right now?
We have never been busier.
Really?
It is a blessing from above. We almost can't keep up with the number of pilgrims coming to The Grotto. It's, like I said, it's truly a blessing. God is bringing people to the church, back to the church, and we're just thrilled to be part of that. We can't account for everything except for God's blessings. We're probably going to surpass, not even probably, we're going to surpass over 400,000 people coming to The Grotto this year.
Mm. That is incredible. Again, people are searching for something, and they're finding it at The Grotto, that is for sure. Chris, something that you started recently were these wonderful lunch and learn opportunities for people, very intimate conversations where people can grow in faith during lunchtime.
Well, we started this 2.5 years ago, Brenda, and it's been remarkably successful. And the concept is pretty easy. You come to Mass, lunch and learn. You come to Mass at noon, and then you go downstairs to our auditorium or to our conference room, and we feed you a free lunch. And then we have a speaker. We started by bringing in nonprofits from throughout the community to talk. So we have Blanche Hay House, St. Vincent de Paul, Modern Day Radio came on for us. But we did that for about 2 years, but we have shifted our focus this year to more spiritually inspired talks. And Father Leo, our Servite rector, has spoken. We had Father Peter from out at Holy Rosary come and talk about their work out there. And then last month, I gave a talk about faith in combat based on my experience largely in Beirut, Lebanon, 42 years ago.
Chris, we're in this beautiful summer season, but many people look at the Memorial Day weekend as that unofficial start. And it's a weekend filled with barbecues and getting together, but we need to remind ourselves why we have that holiday. You celebrate that because you have memories of people that day is designed for, and that is Memorial Day. Just for our listeners, just give us a little bit of a background on you, your faith upbringing, and what was it about your upbringing that made you want to become an officer for the Marines?
Well, I was raised Catholic. I think the term is cradled Catholic. Mm-hmm. My mother's side of the family was particularly devout. And, you know, I'm Mass every week, all the holy days. You know, everybody wanted to be an altar boy when I was a kid, so I was an altar boy. But then when I was in third grade, my father just disappeared, never to be seen again. We never saw him again, never provided my mother any help. And so I learned learned about service during that those times that we were alone. And I like to say, and I said it during my talk last month, you know, three things kept us going as a family. They were God, government, and grandma. Each of those three G's contributed to my mother being able to keep the family together. And I saw the wonderful support, whether it was from the church, my grandmother sending money as she could each month, or the social workers who came into contact with us as we struggled to again, to keep the family together. And subsequently, I said, man, I want to have a life of service. So I ended up going to college and studying social work. I wanted to be a social worker and do for others what had been done for me. So I was very fortunate, right out of college, 21 years old, to get a job as a social worker with the juvenile courts in Virginia. And my boss at the time, an incredible man, Alvin Chaplin, took me aside one day and he said, Chris, you know, you're going to need a master's degree to succeed in this field. I want you to join the military and get your educational benefits paid for. You come back here and I will have a job for you. And so I joined the Marine Corps, and that's how I got started in my career, intending to get out, go to graduate school, and I just got waylaid for a few decades.
Yeah, that's it, because you ended up making a career there. Was there anybody else in your family, or did you have a legacy that you knew of, at least, that was military-minded?
Well, my mother eventually remarried, and my dad was in the Navy during World War II, got out, went to college, went back into the Army, and ended up in Korea, and then subsequently he served in Vietnam. So my stepfather, who, again, I tell people I never called him stepfather, my father, was a three-war veteran.
Wow.
So that was a great example for me to follow. That didn't influence me so much until after I was in the military and looked at all of his service. And that was something that I wanted to build upon.
Chris Blanchard joining us today as we grow and learn about his life and how his faith sustained him through very difficult times in his Marine service. Chris, did you see then early on as you joined the Marine Corps, did you see a link between what you had been doing as a social worker and being of service that way to those in need, to what you were doing and being of service to a country who needed you?
You know, that's a great question, Brenda. And I'll tell you, my social work skills came in handy many times with the young Marines. I can tell you, advising them where to go for help. But it was simply service to a greater cause, a larger cause. And so that was a lot of my motivation. Once I got in the Marine Corps, I liked it immediately. I mean, the initial training was very difficult. As many of your listeners probably know, Officer Candidate School is 10 weeks. And in the Marine Corps, they're not trying to get you through Officer Candidate School. The drill instructor's goal at Officer Candidate School is to get you to quit. If you've seen Officer and a Gentleman, that's exactly how it is. We lost, through attrition, one more than one half of my Officer Candidate class the year I was commissioned. But again, almost from the start, I knew that I loved what I was doing and didn't know that I would make it a career at that point. But I did love the aspect of service to the country and service to others.
Chris, we want to know more about that service and how integral your faith was in carrying you through some very difficult times. I am coming up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break? And we'll continue in the next half hour.
Yes, ma'am. I'll stay.
And I'm back this morning with our good friend Chris Blanchard. He is the executive director of The Grotto, and he has been on the show many times and including support for our yearly share-a-thons. He's joining us today so that way you get a little bit more understanding about his life and some of the things that have gotten him through to this point. Chris, thanks so much for staying with us.
Well, you know, I'm always excited to be here. I say, again, we have The Grotto and Modern Day Radio, same mission, bringing the people to Jesus through his Blessed Mother.
That's right. We go together like peas and carrots, right?
Well, maybe like, I don't like peas.
Oh, okay.
So we need to find something.
Chips and guacamole.
Okay, that's a little better.
Chris, we began this wonderful conversation, and you come on and you tell us about the things that are happening at the Grotto, but you're really giving us an insight as to how all of the things in your life have led you to this point to be able to serve those who come as pilgrims to the Grotto. In our first half hour, we began our discussion. You shared with us how you became an officer in the U.S. Marine Corps. So that set you forward now into a mission. You were given a mission as a commissioned officer in the Marine Corps. Where were we at that time in the world when you became an officer?
Well, you know, in 1981, you know, we had a new president. President Reagan took over. You know, when it was, you know, we hear about the Middle East today all the time. And that really was a starting point for a lot of what's happening today. But, you know, the biggest impact on me and my faith life was that I was sent to Lebanon in 1983 as part of a peacekeeping force to help stabilize the country following a long occupation by the Israeli Defense Forces. And again, I as I said in my talk at the Grotto, I'll spare everybody the details on that. But it was a very unsettling time. The Lebanese had had long periods of civil war, so I arrived as part of a peacekeeping force to try to help stabilize the situation there. And it was there that I first came under fire for the first time in my young Marine Corps career. I was just some dumb first lieutenant leading a platoon of 53 enlisted Marines and a Navy corpsman, and boy, I tell you, I really began to lean on my faith to help me through some pretty difficult times there.
Chris, I'd like to ask you this. While you were in this situation, and it was tense, and people have all kinds of ideas and different sides of a situation, did you ever find that orders that you were given or things that you had to do or send Marines on these missions, did you ever find that pushed up against your Catholic faith that you were having to choose, or did you always were able to rely on your faith to get through the situation?
You know, I talked about this, like I said, last month. I never had any question of the morality of any orders that I had. And again, I was just a young first lieutenant, so you know, I wasn't as attuned to the big geopolitical picture that was driving the deployment of the Marines to Lebanon at that time. But I will tell you that being a man of faith truly helps you when it comes time to making difficult decisions. And let me explain that. You know, being a person of faith, being somebody who knows where I'm going to go if anything happens to me, you know, I'm going straight up. I tell you, that is the kind of thing that faith is what keeps you, makes you decisive, makes you bold, makes you confident in a situation that, again, I called us peacekeepers, that quickly deteriorated into a combat mission. And so, being a man of faith, I didn't hesitate to make very difficult and important decisions, in many cases, potentially life-threatening decisions, because I never had any fear about what was going to happen to me. Because, well, first, I knew our Blessed Mother was going to be looking after me and having a conversation with her son. Hey, anything happens to this guy, let's get him straight upstairs. And I will say that's when I became an avid prayer of the rosary.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, you have that reassurance for yourself, but you want to extend that to the young men who were under your guidance and leadership. When we got together on Share-a-thon in November, you came on a very important morning for me because it was a morning that my own son was completing his training and he was receiving his EGA, his Eagle Globe and Anchor, on the top of a hill in Southern California. And you were our first guest that week, and it happened to also be the anniversary of a very deadly bombing and you were very affected by that. How were you able to use your faith and extend it to those men who lost their lives in Beirut that morning?
Well, I will tell you, I only lost one Marine in 1983. That's Lance Corporal Robert Morrow. Just a wonderful kid. He was actually a reservist, but asked to come on active duty so he could deploy with us. So of the 54 enlisted personnel who went with me, Robert was the only one who was killed in action. Three others were wounded during our time there in various ways. But, you know, can I circle back and just talk
Absolutely.
A little bit about, so, you know, one of the things is expected of a Marine officer is setting the example in everything you do, right? But one of those things was attending Mass. And I have trouble getting through the description of going to Mass in a combat zone, but it suffice to say that that is such a reassuring thing. It's such an inspiring thing. And when the young Marines see the lieutenant going to Mass, they're more inclined to go to Mass. And when they see their other friends going to Mass, they're more inclined to go to Mass. And so it kind of has this building block effect. And I know that they were taking the same thing away from going to, whether it was Mass or other divine services, I know that they were getting the same type of inspiration, that same type of spiritual inspiration, that same kind of spiritual reassurance that I was getting that helped them perform their duties better, helped them perform their duties with greater confidence. So I can't understate the importance of faith in combat, not simply to me, but to many Marines who were around me, to servicemen in general. I think it's a very important aspect of military service to set that example and to let people know it's okay to show your faith. It's just, again, reassuring, inspiring, spiritually inspiring, and you know, not much more I can say about it.
Well, as we end our conversation today, Chris, maybe just a thought here. Looking at the work that you do now at the Grotto and welcoming people, very holy place, do you find that you spend more time falling back on your faith to help you get through these days at the Grotto, say a very busy Festival of Lights evening? Or is it your military background that helps you maybe in difficult times going, okay, this is the job at hand. I'm going to bring the Lord along with me and we are going to accomplish this mission.
Brenda, I say at work, nothing is a crisis to me at work unless one of two things is happening. Somebody dead, somebody dying. No? Then everything is fine. Let's talk about it. So that comes from my military background. But everything that I do, everything that we do at the Grotto is faith-inspired, just plain and simple. Because we are there to bring people to Christ. That's what we are there for. But, you know, I said again, I'm going to refer back to my talk. And what the two things that I wanted to emphasize, and I think they help me in my daily life today. The first one is pray first. So if I have a difficult decision to make, I hope that I've prayed long before I have that decision to make. That's my goal. Pray every day. Pray for guidance in making difficult decisions. And so I say, pray first. Pray first in everything you do. That was my go-to motto in Lebanon. Pray first. You're not feeling well? Pray. Then call the doctor. You're having financial troubles? Pray. Then call your financial advisor. Just make that the first thing you do. And then the second thing that I still carry with me, it's this. You don't have to pray for healing. You don't have to pray for financial success. What you really need, other people are going to take care of your needs, your prayer needs. You pray for the one thing that we all are striving for. pray for salvation. So when you are challenged with those difficult situations that might be life-threatening situations, you know, pray, but pray for salvation. Pray for God's blessings that when you finally leave this earth, that you're going straight up. And with that kind of confidence, with that kind of assurance, every decision you make is going to come easy for you.
Outstanding. Well, obviously, through your leadership, the Grotto is thriving and doing well, and we always look forward to time spent there on your beautiful grounds. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you, Brenda. God bless all of you here.